All right. We would like to welcome everybody to the December 18th, 2024 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah's local historic and conservation districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. So items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. At this time, I ask that everyone silence their cell phones. Me too. Is anybody online? Yeah, okay. Each commissioner member must state their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves by name for the record?
Virginia Mobley.
Katrina Hornung.
Patricia Richardson.
Kathy Levina.
Kirsten Connor. Pam
Miller. Jeff Notriga.
Thank you. Members of the commission receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month? So, Kathy Levina, I'm going to restate my concern about 213 West Bolton Street not being posted today. That was this morning when I drove by. And I have pictures if you need them. Yes?
Jonathan, you want to look at the picture?
I think that's a sign, but then that's the friendly house. Okay, that's fine. And that's in the lane. That's the lane.
Okay. That one.
And that this? One. Yep. Right. And Jonathan, want to make sure, I guess.
Yeah. You going to email it?
Okay.
You can email it now.
I just think I'm seeing that the sign in the lane to find all the rubbish. But that one, yeah, that's not posted at all when you're in the front.
I hope I don't have any problems. Is the applicant here for that particular site? 213 West Bolton. What date? What? Higher time, though, that's so. Okay. have to be posted the entire 15-day period. But they have to stay, they have to be posted the entire time, though.
Because that's.
The applicant was not able to provide any information to show when the signs were down, and if they were down this morning, that there is a problem. So it's up to the board as to whether or not, well, actually, the board has to take it off because the signs were not posted properly today.
Can you turn on your microphone, please?
These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objection from the public. Is there any member of the public or commission member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? If there are no projects to be removed, can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Virginia Mobley, second.
To vote, Jeff?
Approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Motion passes. All right, adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Kirsten Connor, I motion to adopt the agenda.
Katrina Horning, I second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Nutrick, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Motion carries. The minutes from the previous meeting are now attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Did everybody have time to review the minutes? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 2024 meeting as written.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Go ahead and take the vote.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Pam Miller, I'll abstain. I was not present.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Hornung, I will abstain. I was not present.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion carries. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. I guess just the one item then would be removed from the final agenda. Read that? Okay. I'm going to say because of the signs not being posted at 213 West Duffy Street. Oh, excuse me, Bolton Street. I move that project is moved to the January meeting.
January 22nd?
January 22nd meeting. It's petition 24-006284.
Yep. Pat Richardson, approve.
Motion.
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we accept the regular agenda with the exception of item number 13. COA 24-062684, 213 West Bolton Street, We will remove that item from the agenda.
Katrina Hornung, I second.
Jeff. All those in favor? Jeff?
Jeff, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Motion carries. Continued agenda. These are items that have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Katrina Hornung, I make a motion to approve the continued agenda.
Kirsten Connor, second.
All those in favor? Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Katrina Hornung, approved.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Pam Miller, approved.
Jeff Notrika, approved.
Motion carries. Request for extension. Since there are no requests, we will continue to the regular agenda. The regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, and Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The commission asks that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the commission. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The commission will then go into discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure the discussion by calling on each commission member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Commission members are not required to comment. The first application is the petition of Tanisha Scott, 24-005850-COA, 930 West 38th Street, roof siding and front porch replacement.
Okay, as already stated, the applicant is requesting to reconstruct a front porch and to replace the siding and roofing material on the main house at 930 West 38th Street. So there's a little bit of a background on this building. The home was constructed around 1919. Based on the 1955 and 1966 Sanborns, the home had a partial width porch. The full width porch was constructed sometime between 1966 and 1994 when the state survey was completed. Sometime prior to 2022, the front porch collapsed. So in 2022, the applicant requested to reconstruct that front porch as well as to replace the siding in the roofing on the main house. A COA was issued but has since expired before work started to take place, and the applicant did not request an extension on that COA. So they're back to print with the same request. Overall, the project meets the standards as the applicant is proposing to reconstruct the front porch as it once was. Also, the roofing material that's being proposed overall meets the standards. The only issue is that the applicant is requesting to use hardy board siding on the main house. Given that this is a contributing building, the ordinance says that wood siding must be used. Applicant is still requesting the hardy board siding, even though we notified them of this. So with that, staff recommends approval of the porch reconstruction and the siding and roof replacement at 930 West 38th Street with the following condition. And that is to utilize wood siding on the main house and on the front gable of the porch per the ordinance or to apply for a special exception from that standard. Does the board have any questions?
Are there any questions for staff?
No.
Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Tanisha Scott.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
In looking at the drawings, I know the porch roof is going to be lower than the main roof, but how much lower?
I'm not entirely sure how much lower. It should match what it was previously there, because the porch that's being replaced is like a gable. So it's already kind of lowered from the main roofing originally. So we're only replacing what was originally there.
Does the gable still exist?
No, that's the part that collapsed over the on the porch.
And what are you going by? The markings on the building?
Yes. Sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy Livarn, I have a good question. Are you able to salvage any of the existing siding?
Yes, we are able to salvage some of the existing siding. I believe it's like a asphalt material, so kind of like the roofing material that's on the house. It's not like a hardywood, so yeah, but we can salvage it.
I apologize. I wasn't clear. Are you able to salvage the existing wood clapboard siding, any of the existing wood clapboard siding underneath the asphalt?
Yes, ma'am.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How much of this, excuse me, Virginia Mobley, how much of the siding has to be replaced?
It's only a small portion in the front. It's not the entire home. It's like I'd say 1/4 of the home on the left side of the building. Some of the siding has came down, so you only see the exposed wood that was underneath there.
So your request would be then to replace the front facade with the hardy board?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate
you coming here today. We will now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member 2 times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff?
I'm comfortable with staff recommendations.
This is Pam Miller. I just want to thank you. I love when these old places are put back to looking much better than they are. Thank you so much. No comment.
Kirsten Connor, I'm in agreement with staff recommendations.
Kathy Lagana, I do agree with staff. I would like to see all the existing wood clapboard siding salvaged or remain in place anywhere possible, but especially that front facade.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff's recommendations.
Katrina Horning, I agree with staff recommendations.
Virginia Mobley, I agree with staff recommendations. Over the years, I've never seen hardy board that actually matched the shape and thickness and fit of the original siding, and I would like to see that returned.
Is there any further comments?
No further comment.
Pamela, no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, no further comment.
Kathy Levine, I just like a question for staff. We're not replacing all the wood clapboard siding, correct? It's just the front facade and the porch.
That's what it sounds like the applicant just said, yes. Staff was under the impression that all those coming off, but based on what she just said, just sounds like it's the front.
And so the new clapboard siding will match, as Virginia stated, the size and width and overlap the existing.
Yes, ma'am.
And that will be, do we need to state that in the number one?
Yeah, again, when the recommendation is stated, make sure to specify those
in our recommendation.
Yes.
Okay.
Pat Richardson, no further comment.
Katrina Horning, no further comment.
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
All right. Katrina Horning, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Tanisha Scott, 24-005850-COA, 930 West 38th Street, as submitted with staff recommendation 1, and include that the size and profile match the existing wood clapboard. B, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second. Virginia Mobley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Moving on to the petition of Savannah Local Initiatives. Juan, I'm sorry. Say that for me. You're very good. Yuskate. 24-005739-C0A603 West 42nd Street, new construction, parts 1 and 2, special exemptions requested.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 and special exception request for an empty lot located at 603 West 42nd Street. Petitioner is proposing roof A, porch 1 on the drawings. And the request also includes construction of an 8x8x10 storage shed on a concrete slab at the rear of the property. So this is currently a vacant parcel. It is at the corner of West 42nd Street. So you can see here's what it's looking like right at this point. The lot first shows a structure on it in 1916, according to Sanborn maps from that year. The same structure is seen throughout the 1955 map update, so it's not clear when that was demolished or for how long the lot has been vacant. Just for some background of the site. And then to get into the criteria for the special exception request. So the first criteria with whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this ordinance. The request for these special exceptions is in conformance with the goals and objectives, specifically Chapter 6, which discusses affordable housing and the provisions of the ordinance. The applicant notes that the height of the exterior wall from the top of the foundation wall to the top of the interior wall is 10 feet, which is a foot higher than similar houses built in the vicinity in the early 2000s. It is also within the range of exterior wall heights found nearby and throughout the Kyler Brownsville neighborhood. However, the special exception for the side facades having less than 30% transparent features would result in a design that would not be in keeping with the contributing buildings within the Kyler Brownsville Historic District and would not be visually compatible. The second criterion is whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. So similar to the first criterion, the request for the exterior expression of the height of the first story would not be detrimental. And the goal is to create safe and affordable housing rather than a vacant lot. However, the special exception for the side facades having less than 30% would result in a design, again, it's just not in keeping with the contributing buildings and not visually compatible. But the proposed construction of a single-family house is consistent with the historic pattern of development seen on West 42nd Street. So the following condition being recommended is just to add additional windows to the two side elevations to meet that 30% transparent features requirement. Staff found, though, that all other standards were met. And the recommendation is to approve the request for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel at 603 West 42nd Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards, and to approve one special exception request from the following standard in single-family detached, single-family attached, two-family attached, and so forth. The exterior expression of the height shall not be less than 11 feet, and the height of the upper stories not be less than 9 to allow for a first-story exterior expression of 10 feet because the special exception criteria are met, and to deny one special exception request from the standard that reads all residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features on at least 30% of the ground floor facade to allow for less than the 30% because the special exception criteria are not met. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Also want to just mention that the applicant is here with much more information today that may answer your questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Levina, I have one. If we look at the drawing, the the plot plan. Yep. Including the yard. There we go. I think it's showing a chain link fence along Barrows Street.
Okay, that
it's my understanding that chain link fences aren't allowed or permissible along any street.
Right. So then, okay, in that case, we can clear that up with the applicant. I know we've had this condition in the past to replace it with a wood fence, and they've been amenable to that before.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Anita Smith-Dixon, Executive Director for Community Housing Services Agency.
Good afternoon. Are you ready to present?
Thank you.
Great.
So as mentioned earlier, the two design relief requested, you've already discussed a little, but I wanted to provide you with a little bit more information. So this slide basically points out that we have been approved and we've built six of the houses to the previous design that you saw there. And so we've sold six of those homes to first-time home buyers in the Kyler Brownsville neighborhood. And you can see the date that they were approved and the date the certificate of occupancies. In regard to the street-facing side elevations, we did take another survey of the community. We do see that there are additional windows there. This particular one shows the traditional windows. And this particular one shows that when you have narrow lots in between the homes, some of the homes don't have windows or they may have one window. And these properties are directly across from the properties that we're looking to develop. When it comes to the 30% window coverage, this is an example of our demonstrating that 30% of the windows on these small homes is not feasible. This design shows it is not feasible. You can see that there's no wall space, there's no cabinet space. And so it makes it not feasible for us to design this home. In addition to the loss of space, it can impact privacy, safety. And most importantly, one of the things that it impacts is the ability to be able to keep these homes affordable for families with modest incomes. Also just wanted to point out when we look at the cost, and I realize that you all do not take cost into consideration, but I think it's very important. If we were to try to design this home with meeting the 30% windows, basically what we will be looking at is adding another 22 windows, which would increase it to 31% on the front elevation. That's the street facing side, 31% on the rear, 30% on the right side, and 28 on the left side. One of the things that it would increase is cost, which is another $15,000 to the price that we're looking at. Typically, the same homes that we design, we can sell in other communities for $230,000, which will require about $58,000 of annual income. To be able to, if we had the relief requested, then we could sell the homes for $249,000, which will require $63,000 in annual income. But if we had to add those additional windows to this home, we would have to sell it for $264,400, which will require $67,000 in annual income. And so for those reasons, in addition to the wall spacing and everything else that I mentioned, it would make the home unaffordable. This was the original plan that was presented. And so we took into consideration some of the things that you all mentioned. And so we are proposing this revised plan. So with this particular plan, we're still utilizing the 10 windows, but we've moved the plan, the windows around in the home. And with this particular plan, we are able to be able to accomplish 35% front elevation, which is a street facing side, Burrow Street, 35% with the rear elevation. And on the street facing side, on the right side is 4%, and on the left, the interior is 1%. This particular plan would not cause any additional cost. And I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong numbers there. So it will be 35% on the front elevation, that's the street facing side, 24 on the rear, 16 on the right side, and 4% on the back side. So when you look at all three of the plans, the one required for the 30% coverage, window coverage, you can see that this is the one that's not feasible. The one in the middle is the first one that we proposed. The very last one, the revised floor plan, you can see from the Borough Street, the street facing side, there are additional windows there. These are the revised elevation, which makes it feasible for us to be able to construct and sell this home to a first-time home buyer with modest income. And you can also see the front and rear elevations. Can I go into the other one? No.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Pat Richardson, I just want to say I like the proposed plan a whole lot better with the modification of the windows. Just moving the windows around give the home itself a whole new look and a whole new feel. It doesn't feel like the homeowner is boxed in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, I echo that, and I really thank you for working towards something so we can hopefully all have some kind of compromise that benefits you as well as the neighborhood. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Kathy Levine, my question is, the borough side is obviously a city street, and then on the fronting side of the alternate house, your alternate first side. Is that what was original? This is what was originally proposed?
The one
window?
Yes.
And this is just for this property alone, not for any further properties?
This will be for further properties.
This will be for further properties as well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
Virginia Mobley, I know this is the Borough Street placement. What is the placement on the other side in relation to the rooms?
So this particular one shows the revised floor plans for the one that we're proposing. So you can see on the opposite side of Burrow Street, there is a window in the living space. And on the other side, there's that one bedroom. There's a window on that side.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, are there any members of the public that would like to comment? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff, we'll begin with you.
I am comfortable with the staff recommendation and with the modifications to the windows.
Pam Miller, thank you for the compromise. I think it looks great and it'll bring some nice natural light in for the new homeowners. No other comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations, but also with this revised plan showing the different window placement. I think this is a great compromise, and I am all for it.
Kathy Ledbina, I do want to see the chain link fence switch over to a wood fence as stated by the ordinance. And I'm still concerned about the lack of windows on the alternate facade. I understand that it is fronting another home. Maybe a further compromise would be a double window on the exterior. Is this a lane? The lane side in the rear of the property? A double window in the master bedroom? I apologize. So this is a double window in the master. The other plan didn't show a double.
No, that's the previous
design. Yes. So I'm saying a double window in the master bedroom on the rear facade. And that would, again, it's not just the exterior. You're trying to bring light, air, into the interior of the property. That's, you know, windows are pretty, marvelous for the overall feel of the house and the mental well-being of folks. So there's one window in each room, and maybe we could just ask for that master bedroom to be a double window just to give a little bit closer to the 30%.
Pat Richardson, I like the compromise, and I like the repositioning of the windows. I don't agree with the double window in the master bedroom because we also still have to consider the area and the security of the people in the area. So, you know, adding too many windows and adding too large of windows can be an issue too.
Trina Hornung, I believe this design is more equitable and much better than the previous, and I'm inclined to go with staff recommendations.
Virginia Mobley, I think this design is more equitable, but I do agree with Kathy that back bedroom could handle very easily two windows versus one on that back wall. But I am, I'll say, marginally happy with the compromise.
No further comments.
Pam Miller, I don't know what that would add, but that, again, we're not about that. But I do think having more light in that back bedroom would be good and a bigger space. Thank you.
Kirsten Connor, although it might be nice if I were living there to have that double window, I don't think it's something that we need to be sticklers on. I think it's perfectly fine to have one window.
Kathy Lebina, no further comment.
Pat Richardson, I still want to, no comment. I'm good.
Katrina Hornung, no further comment.
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
Okay, I will go. Kirsten Connor, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Savannah Local Initiatives, petition number 24005739-COA at 603 West 42nd Street with the following condition, which would be to go with the revised window plan. Is that how I should say it? As presented today. And approve one special exception from the following standard to allow for a first story exterior expression of 10 feet because the special exception criteria are met, and approve the one special exception to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades because the special exception criteria will be met or can be met with the revised window plan presented today. And that the chain link fence be a wood fence. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Katrina Horning, I second the motion.
Jenny Mobley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Ventrica, approve.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon again. You may recall this was discussed at last month's meeting. We did not have a quorum, so we're going to go over it again. Basically the same issues. This is the lot in question, different from the one you were just reviewing. This is not a corner lot. This would be infill. It's on a lovely brick street. It has a number of contributing buildings, some non-contributing buildings that have been constructed. We heard last month from the neighbor here who had some concerns that I believe were addressed. But it's the same issues that came up before with Caitlin's. So I'm just going to go through this. Here's the site plan, similar. It's a narrow lot. There is access off the lane, to the north, which will have the parking. I've seen this plan before. The applicant was requesting two special exceptions, as was the previous for the previous application. The first one was for the having the exterior expression of the first floor be 10 feet as opposed to the ordinance requirement that it be 11 feet. I don't want to speak for you all, but I believe the commission did not take great issue with that. We looked at other one-story buildings in the neighborhood, and their exterior expression ranges, their varying heights of this, so we thought the 10 feet was a reasonable request. You all, as you were just discussing, raised concern about this 30% requirement on the two side elevations. And so the applicant will walk you through in a few moments their revised plan that, again, we apologize, we just saw that yesterday. But here's the site in question. So we were recommending approval for this project. We think it's a wonderful project for the community and for the city of Savannah, with just some conditions that we just needed some clarification. 1 through 6, I won't walk through all of these. We did recommend the approval of the special exception for the exterior expression. We were recommending denial of the special exception for the 30%. But now the applicant is going to walk you through what they're proposing to do with this house, which hopefully will address some of your concerns. So with that, it might be best if I just turn it over to Anita to walk you through her presentation. If that's all right with you all.
Here he is. Anita Smith-Dixon, Executive Director for Community Housing Service Agency. For 610 West 36th Street, the original plan was 816 square feet. So our revised plan consists of a plan of 832 square feet. 832. Okay, so my slide is going to be a little bit off, so I see how I can work it. But again, however, when you look at the 30% windows, that coverage is not feasible for a small house of this size for the reasons that we stated earlier. So with this 832 square feet home, we rearranged the windows in the home, demonstrating our effort to increase the window coverage on the street facing elevation side. So this particular home, you can see the existing floor plan at the top, and you can see the revised proposed floor plan at the bottom. And you can see the proposed elevations that are feasible, in our opinion, for this particular home. So another survey of the community, we basically, when we looked at the community floor prints, the rhythm plans, the elevations, what we were proposing in regard to the elevation is not uncommon. What we see here are houses across and down the street from 603 West 42nd Street. They basically have the same footprint, size, and mass. The variation comes with a variety of porch roofs and columns in the column details. So with our plans, we're able to utilize four different elevations and five columns. And when you basically mix those up, you can get 20 different possible front elevations. I believe one of the other concerns that was raised during the last meeting was where is the placement of these particular homes? So this particular slide shows the single family new construction for Savannah local initiatives. In our research of information, there's an estimate of 1,286 homes in the Calhoun Brownsville. Savannah local initiative currently have about 11 lots where they can build single family homes. And so with our building this particular home, it would represent less than 1% of all the homes in Calhoun Brownsville. If over the years, as we're working in Calhoun Brownsville in partnership with the Neighborhood Association and others, if we were able to obtain 20 new infill lots using the same or similar floor plan with the various front elevations, it would be less than 2% of all the homes in Calhoun Brownsville. And we can see from the past that there were builders that basically built the same or similar floor plans in Calhoun Brownsville. This picture really demonstrates to me over the years how individuals have made these houses home. But I'm confident that even at the time that they were built for modest income families. And so our goal is to increase the number of homeowners in Calhoun Brownsville, assisting in stabilizing that neighborhood along with other efforts. So when we look at Civis and Savannah local initiatives, all of their developments, we can see with the map legend, the various colors, there are some homes that that are existing that you may note here. So we're not just only doing no construction, but it's a mixture of new and existing. That's the end of my presentation.
members of the public that would like to step forward.
On that lot, there was a church there probably about 50, 60 years ago, and the slabs is right there on both sides of it. And recently, about a year, I built my fence there, but it's not the picture that you've seen. It's a wooden fence that I built there that went all the way back on the, it's on the backside, and it came up to the house. And what I'm concerned about, when they build it, is I'm going to be able to have room, like, to walk out my side gate there to put my trash can out to the lane. I have pictures of it in my phone. Yes.
Can we pull up a street view as well?
Yeah. Dang.
Katrina Horning. So you're saying you own the, which house do you own? I'm sorry.
I own 608 West 36 feet.
608.
The house to the right.
In
the
okay. Picture. Thank you for that clarification.
You did the surveying?
No, no. I'm sorry. I'm okay. Not the applicant. Yeah.
Right long and right there. That's where the, where it's running down the brick foundation on that side. And then it's a brick foundation on that side where the church was. And where the survey put the sticks over here, I got sewage pipes run right on along the side, right along there by the chimney right there. And it seemed like it's setting almost on, probably about a foot away. But when I went back on my fence, see the fence back there? I went, when I built it out, I went in a foot and then ran it to the edge of the house right there. Ran it to the edge, but I came out right there on from the slab right there. But it's in this phone as soon as I could pull it up. And what I'm saying, I want to know when I come out my gate, could I go put my trash can out? You'll be able to see it in a minute, but this phone come on. Okay, it's coming.
All right, I think this is more an issue that, I'm sorry, your name, sir?
No,
I'm sorry, your name?
Okay. Ted Reynolds.
Mr. Reynolds should speak with the developer who's right here, the applicant, regarding if you have concerns about how they're going to do the construction, now you're going to have site access. So if she'll give you her card and you guys can connect and talk about it. That makes sense?
Okay, they don't need to see the pictures.
And we're, I mean, I think it's more of a, you all talking on. No, we would just like to say we really appreciate Savannah Local Initiatives working with you all and with MPC staff on finding a creative solution for these houses to address your concerns, while still advancing a very important effort for affordable housing in the city of Savannah.
I think we're all in agreement. Can you please bring it back to the revised floor plan showing the window fenestration?
Sure.
I believe this should be it.
All right. Are there any other questions for the staff or petitioner?
Can you go down to where we have the floor plan with the new windows? No, the other, that. Thank you.
Yes, so if you look here, it's like the front living room actually has four windows and a door. Each of the bedroom, it's a very modestly scaled house. Obviously, there's windows in the bedrooms, There's a window here in the bathroom. There's a window in the kitchen. And then there's a door, second means of ingress to the rear. So not a lot of wall space, but we think it's a good compromise.
Are there any questions for the petitioner or for staff? Hearing none, we will now enter into board commission, into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Begin with you, Jeff.
I'm good with staff recommendations with the noted changes to the windows.
Pam Miller, I agree with staff recommendations. I do want to say again, though, I am happy to see affordable housing being built. So thank you.
Kirsten Connor, the same thank you for this compromise. And I agree with the new proposed window layout, which would mean approval of the special exception. Other than that, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Levine, I agree with staff recommendations.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations.
Trina Hornung, I just wanted to say thank you to the petitioner and echo the comment that, you know, projects like these are of vital importance to these communities, and I agree with staff recommendations.
Virginia Mobley, I agree with staff recommendations. No further comment.
I don't believe there's any need for further discussion. We can now entertain a motion.
Kirsten Connor. Everyone else has to do the rest of them. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Savannah Local Initiatives, petition number 245737-COA at 610 West 36th Street, with the following conditions outlined by staff recommendations and approval of the one special exception to allow for the first story exterior expression of 10 feet and approval of the one special exception to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
For the vote, Virginia.
Virginia Mobley is approved.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Thank you.
Moving on to the petition of Star Development and Construction.
Kirsten Connor, sorry, real fast. I just noticed number six, we aren't requiring that. So do we need to take that out, or does the approval of the special exception with my noting of the new proposed window plans, is that sufficient?
I believe that's sufficient. We'll just adjust that.
Okay, thanks.
It's a good question, though.
Continuing to the petition of Star Development and Construction Company, 24-005859-COA, 1820 Oguchi Road, partial demolition.
As was previously stated, the applicant is requesting approval of partial demolition. And the work is to demolish this section at the rear of the building. If you all remember, this was heard last month, but due to a lack of a quorum, it had to be rescheduled to this month. Since this project was last heard, an emergency demo order was issued to take this wall down because it was a safety issue. But that did happen. But we still don't talk to the project as a whole, as if that never happened. So staff found that overall the demo of this one-story section did meet the standards, since a two-story portion was not going to be touched. And staff found that the work on the rear wall to close up the two-story portion also met the standards. There was discussion of adding a rear door to the building, that's to the area that separated the one-story section to the two-story section.
It was mentioned that it would be a steel door. Staff just recommends that a different type of door be used because this is a contributing building. So with that, staff recommends approval of the proposed demolition as well as working to close that rear section with the conditions shown on the screen. Just as a side note, staff did receive an updated photograph from the applicant earlier today. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. And this shows the work that has taken place to help close up that rear portion of the wall as well. So, board have any questions? Applicant is here as well to speak.
Katrina Horner.
Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Can you just pull up the staff recommendations?
Sorry, Katrina.
No worries. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Hilton Dobbins, Stark Construction.
Would you like to address the city's recommendations?
Yes. What we did was secure the wall, put 2x6s across, which was the last drawings, and just stucco the back, brick it and stucco the back, the original. Cleaned everything up, pretty much, as in the pictures. If you need more pictures, we have more pictures.
Any questions for the petitioner?
Katrina Hornung, have you been able to salvage any of the material?
A whole lot of brick.
Okay. Good. We're happy to hear that.
Kathy Levine, I've got a question. I've driven by the project, and I have seen your pallets of brick. My question is, was that exterior wall masonry?
No, it was brick. It was brick with stucco.
It was not. Okay, let me further clarify. The exterior facade, the rear facade of that building,
mm-hmm.
you have exterior siding on the second floor.
Yes, ma'am.
And then it changes into a stucco.
Brick.
It was all brick
it's
there.
All
that
brick.
Was all brick.
All brick. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
That
was existing.
All that's existing. Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Existing. And you did not build that or anything
like
that.
No, that was already existing. If you look at the previous pictures, you see it was already existing.
Thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public who would like to step forward? All right. Thank you. We'll now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff.
I'm good with staff recommendations.
This is Pam Miller. I agree with staff recommendations. No further comment.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations. No comment.
Kathy Levine, I agree as well.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with staff recommendations.
Virginia Mobley, I agree with staff recommendations.
Needing no further discussion, we will now entertain a motion.
It's Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Star Development and Construction 24005859 COA 1820, Ogeechee Road.
Jeff Ventrica, second.
Oh, I got to read it out, don't I? Yep. That's with the following conditions. Staff approve the proposed demolition of the rear section of the building and to construct a new rear wall and side yard fence. With the following conditions because the work is otherwise visually compatible. Number one, rather than traditional demolition, the rear one-story portion of the building should be deconstructed and the materials salvaged for reuse. Two, comply with the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings over 40 years old. Three, provide a specification for a door that meets the standards and is visually compatible. And four, provide the proposed stucco to be used on the rear facade for further if the applicant intends to add it over the existing materials, because a petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinances.
Jeff Ventrica, second.
Pam Miller.
All in favor?
Okay.
Jeff Notarico, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. You can continue on with the work. It's pretty much done.
Yeah, you're all good.
All right, continuing to the petition of Charles Richards, 24-006260, COA, 215 East 40th Street, rehabilitation and alteration.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant's requesting after-the-fact approval for a front porch rehabilitation project at 215 East 40th Street. Work includes replacing the removed concrete block foundation, decking, railings, and columns. The concrete block railings and columns are retained on site and will be placed back, and in-kind painted tongue and groove and decking will be installed. Here's just some current before and after photos. So it's not a complete after the fact. It's kind of like in progress, but the problem was that there was no footers on the porch, and it started to cause these concrete blocks to collapse a little bit, and the mortar was deteriorating. So the plan was to go in to rebuild the footers. They give us a plan of how they will accomplish this work and then place back what was there exactly as it is, using mostly all the materials that were already there. So with that, I found the intent of the project, because it is to restore it back to how it was previously, it meets the Secretary of the Interior standards. It had been constructed without a footing, leading to that structural instability, and the existing concrete block porch railings and columns will be placed back. With all of that, staff recommends to approve the after-the-fact request for a front porch rehabilitation project at 215 East 40th Street, as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Levina, I have one. Looks like there's a lot of work going on in the back. That does not need to be approved?
There was a slash is a permit and COA for the siding and other work on the property.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, Charlie Richards.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Would you like to address staff concerns?
Yes, that there is a COA that I have been working under for the rest of the construction that's going on, and I thought that this work fell under that because my applications to the city included this, but it didn't to you. And it was – so a lot of the foundation that's been replaced, because I had to jack up a lot of the house, and so this was like kind of the continuation of the foundation work in my mind. And seeing as I salvaged all the old concrete block that made the porch before, and I'm using it to reconstruct the porch, I just in kind, you know, the whole thing. So I have the columns, and the roof is in place there, and it's in good shape. And so I need to pour the footing so I can relay the old block on top. and those drawings have been signed by an engineer for the footings. So I applied to I gave them to the city, and they told me to come back to you and get the application, you know, through before they'll approve it. So here I am.
All right. Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Kirsten Connor. I just wanted to say I walk by this house all the time, and I love that you're reusing all those Petit John blocks. It's going to look very beautiful. Thank you.
Kathy Levina, I've got a crazy question. How do you know they're Petit John blocks? Were they stamped?
Yeah.
They were?
Yeah, they have.
Where were they stamped?
As some of them make corners,
uh-huh.
The interior corner where they would come together.
Yeah.
They're like printed. There's like a print. So uh-huh. I looked up Petty John, you know, yeah. and did the research on them. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they stopped making them like in the 20s there. So it's nice to have. I got all of them.
Yeah.
Salvaged.
You need to treasure those because they're going to be hard to replace if you break one. Ooh, excuse me. The other question I had, that was the fun one. I was wondering if you're going to replace that front porch, first floor porch window with a 2/2.
With what?
A 2/2.
Oh, the
instead of a 1/1 to match the rest of the windows.
Oh,
I'm just putting that in your ear.
I had no plan on changing anything, really.
I was just putting it in your ear. Anyways, all right. Those were my only questions.
We'll think about that.
Katrina Horning, I just out of curiosity, did you know that there were no footings, or was it just when things started to collapse that you realized there were no footings?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I purchased the property, I knew they had settled down probably 4 to 6 inches in spots. And the mortar had dry rotted, so the blocks, you could pretty much pull them apart by hand. You didn't have to do much work, and they cleaned up easily. So, I knew they had settled like that. And when I removed them, started pulling them apart, I realized no footing underneath.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none. Oh, are there any members of the public who would like to speak? Hearing none, we will now enter into commission discussion. At this point, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member 2 times to speak for 2 minutes or less. We'll begin with Virginia.
No comment.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy Labina, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Jeff Notarik, I'm good with staff recommendations.
All right. We will now enter into, can we now entertain a motion since there are no comments?
Katrina Hornung, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Charles Richards, 24-00-6260-COA 215 East 40th Street. As submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Second.
Pat Richardson, second.
All in favor? Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Notarik, approve.
Thank you. Motion carries. The petition of VP2 Design LLC 24-00-6282-COA 222 West 38th Street, new construction, small, part 1 and 2.
Okay, so the applicant is requesting to construct a accessory dwelling unit at this property. That staff and the applicant have been going back and forth to refine the design so it can be visually compatible. There are a couple of small details that do need to be addressed, such as changing the soffit material from vinyl to a more appropriate material, providing select material specifications, and converting non-operable shutters to be operable to be another element. There is one kind of larger element that does need to be addressed. That is the size of the footprint of this ADU. Currently, it's above the 40% of the primary structure footprint that is allowed for ADUs. So this will require variance recommendation and application. Staff did not realize that it was over the footprint until after posting, so we were not able to add it to this application at this time. So going forward, the applicant will either need to reduce the size footprint or request the variance from ZBA. So with that, staff recommends a continuance to approach accessory dwelling unit at 222 West 38th Street, to give the applicant time to address the following concerns, one being the footprint, then the others being providing some detailed information. And the applicant is online as well.
All right. Are there any questions for staff?
Katrina Hornung, how much
over is it? What is the square footage?
Square footage is like 500 some odd square feet. I believe it's 46, 47%.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for staff? I have one question for staff. In the write-up, you stated that the staff requests that they confirm that the windows have exterior grids and should conform with the mutton size, 7/8 inch or less. Were you able to confirm that?
No, ma'am. Not this time. And
does that need to be written in the
yes.
staff recommendations?
Yes, ma'am.
That the applicant confirmed that the windows have exterior grids and conform to the mutton size. The ordinance is mutton size, which is 7/8 inch or less, correct?
Virginia Mobley, can we go back to the drawings? Where are the shutters that need and or windows?
So this middle window right here, or what looks like a window, those are actually inoperable shutters. I believe that bathroom may be in there. And per the ordinance, they have to be operable shutters. They can't be inoperable. So either these need to work or a window or something needs to be placed instead.
Okay. Thank you.
And you've been working with Kathy Levine, you've been working with the applicant on this?
Yes. This has gone through several revisions at this point.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for staff? And the applicant is online?
It'll be Victor. I can't say his last name.
Is Victor, are you prepared to comment?
No one is raising
staff recommendations?
Their hand. No one is raising the hand, and there is Victor plus.
That's who it is. That's him.
Okay. He is unmuted on my end. Can you hear us, sir? Victor.
Is there any way to call him? I mean, I don't know what the process is.
I cannot call from here. Yeah, we can.
What we can do is.
Your name for the record.
Melanie Wilson, Executive Director and CEO of the Metropolitan Planning Commission. What we can do is I can call him, put him on the speaker phone to the mic so that you can hear what his concerns are. We've had to do that on occasion when the person couldn't get their phone unmuted so that you could hear. If that's okay with you, I'll be glad to do that.
That's fine, stuff. I mean, with the commission.
Okay. So let me get his phone number.
Where are we?
Hello.
There it is.
I think I got you now. Now, this is Victor Plusnik. Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. We are hoping you will address staff's concerns or agree to the continuance staff recommends.
All right. Yeah, I had a little trouble with the microphone there. Sorry. as far as the concerns go, the false shutter on the lane elevation, which would be the north, that is currently a bathroom. The owner just decided not to have a window in the bathroom. So, but just for the elevation itself, I used the false window in that location. On the muttons, they will be 7/8 or less. I thought I had provided a cut sheet on that. I guess I did not put that in there. But and the soffit will be hearty. That was just a note I missed on that one. As far as the variance goes, I'm in the process of applying for the variance. Currently, we are at 528 square feet, which gives us about 47%, and waiting to see if they grant that or not. I believe that is all I have.
That's what will happen is for that variance, I'll have to come back in front of y'all. Y'all make the recommendation, and then we'll go to ZBA. So you'll have to be heard next month if he wants to go the variance route.
If you wanted to go forward with the variance.
Do you Correct. Think that could be settled by the next month? That it would come back in front of us? Because we need a date certain for...
Yeah, so how it works is y'all need to make the recommendation first before it goes to ZBA.
Okay.
Please.
One of the challenges when you end up with a case like this is that if he does not get the variance because he could make the, you know, he could make the building smaller, then you'd end up with a design that you've agreed to that he's not going to be able to do. So he's still going to have to come back. I don't know if the applicant, knew ahead of time. I didn't get an opportunity to talk with staff about to ask them that, that we had issues with the sizing of the space of the building. But if he has to come back or if he has to get a variance, especially because he's got two garage door openings, then it could change his design. So the question becomes, do you want to ask that he get a variance, or do you want to ask him to come in to see what the design would look like if he designed it to fit within the footprint that he's allowed to have? So it's two options, I guess, if that, I don't want to confuse you, but it is two options, because if you go ahead and approve it now and BZA says, well, I'm sorry, but you could have made it smaller, you're creating your own hardship. And in this case, he's creating his own hardship, then he could have to come back if he gets, if it ends up being that he only has one garage. And I'm just looking at this elevation from the north elevation where it's showing that there are two. It could be that he ends up with one. So does that impact you, or do you care about that or not? It's questions like that when you end up with a situation like this.
This is Pam Miller. It's my understanding, didn't he just say he's applying for a variance already in the process?
Correct. He said that he was applying for the variance, but he has not, to my knowledge, submitted his application.
Okay.
The way this works is that if you wanted to have a date certain,
we're not there yet.
What's the deadline? Do you have the calendar for the – we can tell you what the
–
because what would happen is that if he's turned his application in on time in December, then he would be heard in January, you know, probably the second or third week in January, which means that he could come back to you in
theoretically
February.
He could be back by the next meeting of
well,
depending on the outcome of that, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Theoretically, but you can always continue for 30 days, and then if it's not settled,
continue
it again for 30 days. You just need to have a date certain so that the advertisements and things of that nature are still in place.
Right.
So we would continue the petition without approving a variance.
You could, yes.
There we go.
Not recommending the approval of a variance. Just continuing it.
Yeah, you can continue the petition without making any recommendation. That's up to you. And remember, you always have that discretion. If you get something that needs a lot of variances, then in some cases it's probably better that you do continue it, because if they don't get all of them, you're hearing it again or you're having to backtrack.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff?
So, I was just going to tell you, we've got the 2025 calendar. So I am hoping that the applicant applied because the cutoff date for applications was December the 13th.
Correct.
If he did, then the meeting for the City Zoning Board of Appeals is January the 23rd.
And, I was
and your meeting is the 22nd.
So he would be, it he means would come that it'll be February.
Yes. And we'll give you the date certain. What's the date of the February?
Do we have meeting? The February meeting date?
It's on that sheet. I gave it back too soon. February 26th.
26. Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions for staff? Victor, did you follow that discussion? Is he still on the phone?
Yeah. Am I on or?
You are. We hear you.
I did understand that. Actually, I spoke with zoning on Monday because we were going back and forth a little bit to get the entire gist of the 40%, because originally the homeowner, he had an idea that the porches were part of that 40%, part of the overall footprint of the main house. And that's where he had in his mind the 40%. He thought he was right on it. And anyhow, he had his idea set on that one and on that size specifically. And so rather than trying to build something else, I was just trying to get the variants through first. But I did speak with zoning on Monday, and they had let me know that Friday the 13th was the cutoff, and that February would be the date for zoning for their meeting. But yes, I did hear that.
Okay.
I did understand that.
All right. Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? Please state your name for the record.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's ARC agrees with staff's recommendation of a continuance on this petition. We question the accuracy of the drawings due to the slight differentiation in roof heights, as you can see here. We would also like to see more consistency and continuity, in windows and gable roof vents and a more visually compatible roof style.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who would like to comment? Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Oh, there we go. Thank you. the current design that you see now was put together. There was a previous version of it a day earlier, so I was trying to put it back together, make it a little more compatible. And there was probably, it has a little bit of cleanup to do as far as some of the notes, et cetera. So that will be taken care of.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We will now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, I think that we need to go the route of the continuance because the plan before us may change in major ways.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with Virginia in a continuance.
Pat Richardson, I agree with the continuance.
Kathy Levine, I agree with the continuance. A continuance with no vote in favor of the variance, correct?
Just a continuance.
Okay.
Kirsten Connor, I also agree with the continuance.
Pam Miller, I agree with staff recommendations of a continuance.
Jeff Natrika, I'm comfortable with a continuance as well.
Any further discussion necessary? Would someone like to entertain a motion?
Sure, I will. This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of VP2 Design, LLC, 24-006, 282 COA, 222 West 38th Street, until February 26, 2025, in order to address the concerns as listed.
Jeff Natrika, second.
All in favor, Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. I don't know if we can take a pause, like 1 minute or 2 minutes for a restroom break. Anybody else like to? Yep.
The nominating committee.
Yeah. You start.
Yeah. I have to see. Oh, yeah.
Everybody okay?
Yeah, that's everyone.
Are we ready to continue?
Y'all ready?
All right. Welcome back, all. We will continue to petition of Alexandra Trujillo de Taylor, 24-005299 COA, 16 East 39th Street, after the fact gate, special exception request.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. So the applicant is requesting that after the fact approval for a front yard fence and gate at 16 East 39th Street, the height of both exceeds the 3 feet maximum. Thus, a special exception is being requested. Just a little context is this is a built in 1910 and is a contributing resource in the Thomas Square Streetcar National Register Historic District and the local district. The project does not affect the historic building. The house is on a block with several two-story wood frame houses, which appear to be mostly contributing resources. There are no other tall front yard fences or gates on this block. So project history, the fence and gate were installed without a COA sometime in early 2023. The applicant at that time initially applied for the after-the-fact approval after receiving a letter from Code Compliance in March of 2023. The corrective action recommended by Code Compliance was to apply for the after-the-fact COA. The staff decision from this initial application was not completed because more information was needed, including the appropriate checklist for fences and a special exception request. So for today's purposes, here is some photos of the current status. For the special exception criteria, for the first one, whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of the ordinance. The provisions of the ordinance state that fences in the front yard are to be 3 feet or less in height. The application notes that the fence is 5 feet and the gate is clearly taller. The intent of the standard is to ensure that fences and walls define outdoor spaces appropriately, separate the private and public realms, and add architectural interest to a building's facade. Although the fence and gate configuration separate the public and private realms,
and may add architectural interest. The appropriate defining of outdoor spaces is uncertain. There is no historic precedent in this neighborhood that would indicate a taller fence in a front yard would be historically appropriate, as front yards were not typically closed in with tall fences. The taller fencing gate did not appropriately define the outdoor space of the front yard because this configuration does not maintain a consistency of heights in the interest of visual compatibility and historical appropriateness on a block with so many contributing houses. And the second criterion, whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. The fence and gate are not detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, or function of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. However, the appearance of the adjacent uses is not met because the surrounding historic houses in the general vicinity must be considered in the appearance slash visual compatibility of the taller fence and gate. Most front yards in the viewshed of the property do not have a front yard fence, and the only one that does is directly next door and within the 3-foot height limit. Since all of the above must be met, the project does not meet this criterion. For the Secretary of the Interior standards, the fence and gate do not have a physical impact on the historic house itself, and their removal would not cause damage to the building. However, as noted in the special exceptions section, front yards from this time period were typically not enclosed with tall wooden fences. Overall, the character of the house is not affected because the fence and gate are not permanent installations. The height, width, and scale standards are not met, hence the special exception request. The height is not visually compatible because there are no other houses on the block with this style, and the height between the gate, the column supporting it, and the fence is also noticeably different within itself here. So staff found that the special exception criteria were not sufficiently met and therefore would recommend installing a fence and gate that meet the height requirements. And with that, staff recommendation is to deny the special exception request from the standard that reads, fences or walls no more than 3 feet in height may be installed within the front yard to allow for an after-the-fact installation of a 5-foot tall fence and gate because the special exception criteria are not met. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
Katrina Hornung, if you go back to one of the photos, it has, some kind of greenery trellised on the fence. Would, if they removed the fence or lowered it, would that also need to be lowered, or would that by itself be allowed as some type of greenery?
I think it, because fences, trellises, and walls are all under the same standard, I think it would just still have to follow the same.
Understood. Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right, hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the commission. My name is Anthony Poulos. It's good to see half of you again. I see some additional faces, so I don't want to get into everything that I did get into last time because I understand there's four members of this commission that were here last time, and I saw the writing on the wall, but I would like to give a brief summation of how we got here today because we are going to be asking for something a little bit different this time. So as you heard, this fence was built in 2023. What you didn't hear was that there was an email from my clients to the city of Savannah asking if they needed a permit to build their fence. They were told that they did not need a permit to build the fence as long as it was under 7 feet. They were instructed to that they should contact the MPC for a COA. They didn't understand what that was, so they built the fence, they received a violation, and then they contacted the MPC for a COA. That COA, for reasons, I guess, that makes sense to the MPC. It doesn't really make sense to me why it was never acted on. It just kind of sat around for going on 2 years now. But regardless, it wasn't acted on. And in fact, they received the wrong instructions from the code compliance. They were told to submit a COA, which they did. What they should have been told was you need to submit an after the fact special exception. So there was a little bit of a disconnect. And that brings us here today. Now at the last meeting, in my opinion, the writing was on the wall that the commission was not going to approve, this special exception. So I don't want to rehash that, but what I do want to put on the record is that, I think that there was a chastising of my clients for not understanding the ordinance, and they were told that they should have known that they were in a historic area. They should have known, how they were supposed to go about this process. And if they're so concerned about safety, they should go get a drop box, or something similar. Now, I'd like to juxtapose that with last time this commission not understanding the rules for a quorum, and then the letter from the city instructing them to go get a COA as opposed to an after-the-fact special exception. And I say all that not to be argumentative, only to say that what I hope we can agree on today is that my clients acted in good faith when they built this fence. They did not build this fence to skirt the ordinances, to go against the city ordinances, and we recognize that here today. So I want to put that on the record that these ordinances are not exactly clear. I mean, they're not even clear to the city officials that write these citations, the process. And I know you all live it once a month, so it's a little bit clearer to you all, but it wasn't to them. So what I hope we can agree on is that they did this in good faith. They built this fence in good faith. Why is that important? It's important because when they built it in good faith, the fence is now up. They spent a lot of money on not only the fence, but they spent a lot of money on the gate. They spent a lot of money on the faux vegetation that's out front. And they take a lot of pride in this fence. They really like the fence. It's been up for almost 2 years. It's provided them safety. It's provided them security. It's provided them reassurances for their house. And it's provided them a peace of mind knowing that when packages get delivered to their house, they're not going to be stolen, which, you know, Ms. Miller, Mr. Natricka, and Ms. Horning, I know you weren't here last time, so you didn't see the videos that were played. You didn't hear all the testimony about the reason why they built this fence after living there for 17 years was because they had packages that were constantly stolen off their front yard. And I guess I'll just say that as well. These are 17-year residents of this house. They're not developers. They're not looking to build and make a quick buck. They're residents that care about the city. They want to live in this house for the foreseeable future. They have no plans to leave. They have no plans to sell this house. So they built that fence with that in mind. And so what I'm hoping here today is that there's two parts of the bylaws that I think are extremely applicable to their request. And that's on page 9 of 14, the responsibility to the community. It says that number one, commissioners and staff should be advocates for the community's heritage resources, striving to protect their integrity while recognizing the rights of citizens individually and collectively to their beneficial use and enjoyment. And number nine, commissioners and staff should seek compromises or search for alternatives where necessary to achieve overall preservation goals and provide substantial justice for citizens. And I think we saw that here today. There's very clear ordinances that the height of certain houses is supposed to be 10 feet, right? And we saw an exception to that today because of the reasons that it's good for low-income citizens to have a vested ownership in the city. So I put all that on record to explain how we got here. And what I'm hoping for is to get a satisfactory resolution from my clients. And so at this point, my clients are aware that the fence is not staying. They're aware that it's not going to be 5 feet, and they've accepted that. What we are asking here today is to please just let the gate stay. The gate that is see-through, that has two posts on either side. The reason that the gate can't come down and the post can't come down is it's a hardwired call box. If you see in the picture that I believe is on screen right now, you can see on the right side there's that call box that is hardwired through a cable. The gate is wrought iron. They bought wrought iron gate from Egypt. Miss Lavina, last time, and I'm hoping this is still your thought last time you asked this very question. You say, can we just keep the gate? It's a beautiful gate. It's see-through. I know the staff is concerned about, and the city itself is concerned about being able to see into the front yard. So what I'm asking here today, the special exception that I'm asking for today, they will put the fence and the posts within the city ordinances. They will knock it down. Can we please keep the gate? That is the only thing that we're asking here today. I'm happy to take any questions. I think that that complies with the city ordinance. I understand it needs a special exception, so we need your support. I understand without it, it can't stay. But I think if you accept the fact, and I'm hopeful that you do, that they built this fence and this gate in good faith in an attempt to comply with the standard, and you can give them a little bit of grace that they've spent money, they've put a lot of work into this fence. And so what we're asking for today is a little bit of grace. And if they could just that gate and the two posts on either side, and we'll bring the rest down to comply with the ordinance. I'm happy to take any questions. Pending no question, that was all I had. I appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
Curious and Connor. Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say to you and the applicants, we always appreciate you being able to work with us and coming up with some kind of compromise. Obviously, we'll have a discussion about it after, but I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trina Hornung, the fence itself, it appears to me to look like some kind of tongue and groove. So would they just pull off, 2 feet? Is that the plan?
I'm not a designer, but that sounds good to me. I think that's the plan. I think I tried counting the individual slabs today, and I think they reach 5 inches. So I think if they pull off 3 of them, I'm sorry if my math is wrong, but I think so. Maybe four of them. But yeah, whatever it takes to get in compliance, that's what they're planning on removing.
Okay, not removing the fence altogether.
Just to get it in compliance with the 3 feet.
Understood.
And my understanding, and I'll put this on the record, that the posts that are 5 feet, and I did print out this ordinance, they do meet the 9.6-2, D2, little I2, B, which is that if the posts are 6 by 6 inches, they can extend up to 2 feet above the maximum fence height. And if I'm wrong on that, please correct me, but that's my understanding. And I didn't bring that up solely because I feel as though it's within the ordinance.
Kathy Levine, my question is, do you feel like you and the designer could work with staff, knowing the past, what you've gone through already? Are you open to working with staff on a design?
Yes, yep. Sure.
Okay.
Pat Richardson. I want to thank you for not being argumentative. I also want to thank you for pointing out the lack of knowledge or misunderstandings by both the commissioners and your clients. And I will take it into consideration along with staff's recommendations.
Thank you, ma'am.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Virginia Mobley. When this process started, it was an application to build a fence or to put in a fence. It was not followed through on whether it was staff responsibility or the petitioner. And I'm sorry, under this ordinance, it is the burden of the petitioner to follow through. It has taken a number of years to get to the point that we are now addressing it as after the fact because of lack of cooperation on the property owner's part, not lack of crying on the city. So I think while we will discuss and consider your request, I don't see where anyone on our staff has fallen through. I think it's been on the burden of the property owner.
At risk of, I hear you. And so I do think that's a side issue. So I just to be in line with Ms. Richardson and not be argumentative, I understand. And I think you do have a valid point. I think they were a little confused, but I'll just leave it at that. But I do appreciate it, and I do think you have a valid point, ma'am. So, I mean, if you want me to respond, I can. It's completely up.
No.
Okay.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, I think we need to hear from the staff.
Well, thank you to the applicant for his presentation. We always are looking for compromise. I just wanted to get back to, so everybody's clear about the record, because my predecessor had, when I was here for a short period, had talked to me about this project. As the applicant noted, there was an email from the city. The city did say you need to get a COA. The applicant, I'm sure they're very nice people, went ahead and built the fence without getting a COA. So they did that. They knew they had been given pretty clear direction. You have to get a COA. Now, I understand not everyone may know what a COA is. In addition, as the applicant representative just noted, they've lived in the neighborhood for 17 years. My understanding from my predecessor is they had also claimed they did not know they were in a historic district, which I think is a bit of a stretch. Maybe they didn't, but perhaps they've not noticed all the COA signs that go up on every other house on this block when people do work. So staff, and the question of, it's not that we've just been ignoring this or my predecessor was ignoring this. There was an incomplete application. There was a number of outreach by my predecessor to this owner to complete the application so this could move forward. Again, we don't have the mechanism in place. We can force people to do that. So I just wanted to be clear that it wasn't that staff had dropped the ball or was ignoring this project. It was very much on the radar of the former director. We are obviously always looking for compromise, and we appreciate that for the applicant. But again, the ordinance is very clear that you can only have the city's ordinance. You can only have a 3-foot high fence in the front yard. And as my colleague Caitlin pointed out, historically, you did not see large fences in front yards or gates like this in this neighborhood. So that's why staff is recommending the special exception not be granted. I'm sure they're very nice people, and it's a very nicely designed fence. If it were elsewhere, I'm sure it would work very well. It's just staff's view that it does not meet the criteria.
Kirsten Connor, thank you, Jonathan. I also just add to what you said, I was just reading the inspection report from March of 2023, and they do say, please apply for an after-the-fact certificate of appropriateness. So they did say that as well.
I have a question. Because of the way this was done, and just that little wrought iron fence just to the east of that or whatever direction that is, that's a 3-foot fence. Is that correct?
Correct. That's my understanding.
So that's a 3-foot fence. So in order to meet the requirements, they would have to drop the height of this fence to the top of where that fence is.
Correct. It would have to be, I mean, it's the city's ordinance. You can only have a 3-foot high
fence. Right, right. So it would have to go there. The applicant's representative is saying, as a possible compromise, could they keep the gate? So basically that gate would be up at twice the height, just about, of the, what the.
I don't know the exact measurements, but yes, you can see
like
here
that,
it's,
I mean,
it's, yes, it's.
And that would require a variance request.
That would require,
correct?
Well, you're asking for a special exception to exceed.
Yeah, right. So it couldn't, so there's nothing other than deny. I mean, at this point, it would have to require another variance request. I mean, an exception.
He's, that's what he's asking you for, I believe.
He's asking that today.
Yes, that's my understanding. He's asking you to allow part of this. The way we've talked about this to staff, the gate is part of the fence or wall in terms of the ordinance. So I believe what, I don't want to speak for the applicant, what he's asking is, can part of it exceed 3 feet, which would be the gate and the columns on either side, and then the rest of it would step down to meet the allowable height. That's my understanding.
Virginia Mobley. Jonathan, did not we have the same issue about a taller gate at a lower fence over on Whitaker Street a few months ago? Kenneth Rose and the restaurant?
Kevin Rose, yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, very good memory. Yes. And that was for an adaptive reuse of a former commercial building into a restaurant. And the applicant was requesting a gate that would exceed. Actually, it's a very good example. And I believe you all said no.
Thank you.
Jonathan, Kathy Levine, one question for you. I'm a little confused as to the posts being over 6'6" and over 6 feet, that subsection that was cited.
I'm not aware of that. Yeah, I'm in the front yard, at least from my discussions with the city, front yard fences cannot be higher than 3 feet.
Period.
Period. That's so, the city's okay. Interpretation.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff before we hear from the public? Yep.
Jonathan, one question. So exactly how tall is this fence?
The fence itself, I believe, is 5 feet, Caitlin. 5 feet. And then the gate is probably 6 feet.
Okay. And the max allowable is 3 feet.
Correct.
Thank yes. you.
Yep.
There should be a drawing. The posts are 6 feet high.
Yeah.
And then does that include the urns?
Probably not, but I can't guarantee you that.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff before we hear from the public? All right. Can we hear from the public and then we'll invite you back up? Okay. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak? No. Okay. Hearing none, would you like to address the concerns of staff? Readdress?
Yes. So my understanding for this picture is
Sorry, Anthony Poulos again. My understanding for the picture that's on the screen right now is that the reason why at the bottom, not only does it give the fence height, it goes on to say that the posts are 6x6. My understanding is that if you read further into the ordinance for the streetcar district, while it says that fences may not extend past 3 feet, it also says that they may comply with section 9.6.2 of the City of Savannah Fence Code. If you then go to the City of Savannah Fence Code, that's where you'll find how to measure a fence. And that's where it says that a post or a column may extend above the maximum height of the fence as follows. And if you look at B, it says 2 feet above the height limit when the size of the post is 6x6 or greater. So I think that that's why they're including in this picture the post height, because it directly applies to the city ordinance. Is my interpretation of it. I'm happy to cite that ordinance or give you all the piece of paper, but.
I guess I'm going to look to staff to further define that.
Hi, Melanie Wilson, Executive Director, CEO. One of the things that I want to just remind you as you're kind of thinking about this is that the city's fence ordinance is for properties that are not in the historic district. So you've got a separate set of regulations that you follow that are not applicable to the folks that live in the other areas of the city. So just keep that in mind when looking at that. And I'm looking at these examples of fences, and it is kind of from the overall ordinance. I can see where there can be some confusion just looking at it, but that's just the way that it is in the ordinance. So I just wanted to make sure you understood that.
Kathy Levine, the question, my question is the overall ordinance is what he's referring to versus the historic district ordinance for fences.
Yes, and she's going to pull, and she's going to, yeah, and she's going to, ask her to pull it up. But that's where the problem comes. When code enforcement or they cite stuff, sometimes they don't look at where the boundaries are. They just kind of say, this is a problem. You can go to this area, but it's still not our staff or historic staff. So if they're sending them to the fence ordinance within the city, that's where they're getting that information. With regards to fence, walls, materials, things of that nature.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So this is in the streetcar ordinance. It says, in addition to the requirements set forth in 9.6, and then it takes us there. But I think it's still, it has to apply in the scale of what's allowable in the historic districts.
All right. Thank you for the clarification. Are there any questions, additional questions? For the petitioner or staff? No. Hearing none, then we will now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff?
I feel sympathy for the applicant's situation, but to be perfectly honest, the gate bothers me more than the fence itself.
This is Pam Miller. I agree. It's a troublesome, but the visual compatibility, first of all, it doesn't meet the ordinances, and I understand they've got the electronics and stuff in there, and maybe they can lower those down or something to meet the 3-foot height, but I don't see how that, as president of my own neighborhood, we can't have fences over 3 foot high I know it's just something we deal with all the time. Thanks.
Kirsten Connor. I can see both sides of compromising with leaving the gate, but at the same time, I would echo the other commission members have said, so I'm kind of on the fence. So I would love to hear from everyone else on that.
Kathy Labina, I think the gate is quite interesting, architecturally interesting. If it could be incorporated into a fence, I think you could easily do that. You could alter that gate and bring it a little bit lower. The posts obscure the historic building behind it. If you could do some sort of hollow metal post that might work with that electrical going up and then just put a little sign. What I'm trying to say is you could come up with the design working with that gate, but I would not be able to approve anything until I saw that design. I can't just say, yeah, use the gate without the context around it. The posts, they are very large, 6x6 are great posts for porches, but not for front entry gates. That's what I'm seeing right now.
Pat Richardson, can you blow that up a little bit so I can see the gate?
No, incorporate the gate.
Yeah, we probably have a better close up.
What's the width?
Like 3 feet. 40 inches.
Oh.
18 plus 18,
36. That's where I was going. Yeah, I do like the gate, and I was wondering if there was any way to try to salvage the gate, like maybe just change the orientation instead of portrait, make it landscape,
just something that we can do, you know, to salvage some of this project. I would hate to see the entire project go to waste. But
Katrina Hornung, while I can certainly sympathize with the frustrations of dealing with the intricacies of the bureaucratic system, I do believe, you know, the 5-foot fence certainly needs to come down to 3 feet. And then that brings into play a whole other set of issues with how the gate interacts with that. I don't know if I think it could be rotated because that creates a whole different problem with the door hardware. I mean, it could just be cut off at the top, cut that in half, maybe that way, but you know, that's not for me to decide. Certainly. Yeah.
Virginia.
I agree with staff recommendation. I think that basically that what is there now does not comply with the existing ordinance. If the petitioner would like to redesign the fence to the appropriate material and the appropriate height, and can, and it, whatever design they come up with, they can reapply. But at this point, what is there now is not part of the ordinance. I don't think it is our job to redesign. I think it's our job to enforce the ordinance.
Jeff?
No further comment.
Pam Miller, no further comment.
Kirsten Connor, one option for us might be to deny, but also ask that they possibly work with staff to maybe come up with a solution to bring back to us in order for them to keep the gate, because like all of you have said, it's really hard for me to make a decision to approve something without seeing the context that's going to be associated with that gate.
Kathy Levina, I echo your concern.
Pat Richardson, no further comment.
Katrina Hornung, I agree with the previous comments, yes.
Virginia Mobley, no further comment.
Not to contain a motion.
I'll take it. Alrighty. Let me get to my right page here. This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of Alexandra Trujillo de Taylor, 24005299 COA, 16 East 39th Street. Based on the incompatibility of the project with the following visual compatibility factors as listed and design standards as listed as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second. Okay.
With the recommendation that the applicant work with the city staff to see if there is a compromise to bring back to us.
Chair, I want you to unmute your microphone.
Is there any further discussion on the motion? All right. Is there a second on the motion? Or would you like to repeat the motion?
Virginia Mobley, second.
All right. All those in favor? Jeff?
Approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
We need a date certain. So either are we going to deny it? Well, it sounded like it was a denial, and then it sounded like and recommend that the applicant come back. So I just wanted to be real clear for the record, you know, if you're denying it, you're denying it. You can suggest to the applicant that they work with staff to come up with another design. And
let's rephrase that to suggest.
There you go. There you go. Because it sounded like you were.
Yeah, so no. The implication was to suggest that they try to compromise and come back.
We're at denial then, is what you're saying, with the suggestion that. So it's denial with the suggestion that. Can you please repeat the motion, Pam? So there's no question.
And before we do that, I just go on record. I think I at this point have to make a record of what's happening right now. I mean, you all are the commission. You all decide what you do. You were just about to vote for something. I think the staff inappropriately interjected themselves in the middle of a vote.
We'll remake the motion. I'll redo the motion. Thank you.
Just for the record,
I'll just redo the motion.
Just really clearly. We didn't inappropriately do anything. The only thing that we were doing was trying to make it clear with regards to what the motion was that Ms. Miller made.
Right.
She's got the right to ask you to either do one of two things. They can recommend denial of the application, or they can ask that you can come back in maybe 60 days with the revised application. Those are the two options that they have.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
So you could,
with that, I will just go ahead with the motion. This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of Alexandra Trujillo de Taylor, 24005299 COA, 16 East 39th Street, based on the incompatibility of the project with the following visual compatibility factors as listed and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Second.
We need a second.
I mean,
first.
Second. Excuse me.
All in favor? Jeff?
Deny.
Pam Miller approve.
Kirsten Connor approve.
Pat Richardson approve.
Katrina Horning approve.
Virginia Mobley approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on, the approved staff reviews, there are none, correct?
There are none because, as I mentioned during the pre-meeting, we are not allowed to do any staff reviews at the present time, so you will not be seeing any staff reviews until that's
so we will not have to have a vote of acknowledgement.
No.
So we are continuing then to the notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements.
Yeah, the first item on there is the proposed 2025 HPC calendar.
Katrina Horning, nope. I make a motion to accept the proposed 2025 HPC calendar.
Pam Miller, approve. Second.
All in favor? Jeff?
Approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Motion carries. Going on to the inspections completed by staff. Are there any questions concerning?
Yeah, you have to approve either of those.
Right, I'm just asking for a discussion. Stamp drawings, November and December. Any questions? No. Okay. Moving on to other business. Unfinished business.
Yes. We're going to end with a bang. The nominating committee is to announce the 2025 chair and vice chair nominations. So I don't know who's going to do that.
Not either.
Pat Richardson, is this the point, is this the time when we actually nominate people, or we should have did this in committee?
This is the time when one or two things have happened. Either you have already appointed a nominating committee and they've met and have a slate of officers, or...
Did that happen?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so the committee. Okay, so it's time for you to vote then.
Yes.
Go for it.
I don't know what they've said. No, we haven't told. We did have a nominating committee, and I believe they were going to make recommendations, but I can't speak for them.
I believe I was on it, but
it was you three.
Yeah,
it was us three. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Katrina Hornung, can I vote to nominate Kathy Ledvina as the 2025 chair?
Kathy Ledvina denies. No. I will serve as second chair, but I will not be chair. I've served as chair in the past. I will fill in as needed.
Katrina Hornung, I nominate Pam Miller as chair for the 2025 committee.
I unfortunately would have to decline. My obligations are so overwhelming. So honestly, I sit on several commissions already. I really can't do one more. I wouldn't do it justice, to be honest with you. But thank you very much.
Pat Richardson, I'd like to nominate Virginia.
I'm thrilled. Well.
Oh, gosh. Got...
Pat, how about step up?
Or Jeff.
Ain't ready yet.
I have a... Pat Richardson, I would like to nominate Jeff. Latrika?
I greatly appreciate your sentiment.
Thank you, Jeff. But that would be Jeff as chair and Kathy as vice chair, I believe. Correct? Yes. So I think you do need to vote.
Katrina Hornung, Kirsten, do you have any interest?
Well, I was going to say I am leaving, and is there an option to have a temporary chair? Because I also wanted to ask, when are we getting more members on here?
We're working on it. We're not sure.
Okay, because I'm only staying on because I was concerned with having a quorum.
Thank you. Yes, we do politely nudge our colleagues at the city about.
Okay. Do you know if anything's going to happen at the council tomorrow?
I don't know, but I will check with our colleagues.
Okay.
Yep.
I am happy. I will volunteer to be a temporary chair, but that's up to you guys because if that's allowable, I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. I am so sorry.
I think we have a chair or potential chair and a potential vice.
I apologize. My bad.
Yes.
Yes. So what's the formal?
I would just say make a motion to have Jeff Latrika serve as
chair. I make a motion that Jeff Latrika serves as our chair for 2025 and Kathy Levana serves as our vice chair for 2025.
I'll second that motion. Pam Miller.
All in favor.
Your mic's not
Virginia. All in favor for Janine?
Aye.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Aye. Pat Richardson, approve.
Aye. Kirsten Connor, aye.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Patrika, approve.
Congratulations, Jeff.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Glad.
Oh.
Continuing.
Do you hear someone raising their hand online? I'm not sure. Like...
Yes, I believe Caitlin gave me, I believe it may be Jared who was here earlier. This was the gentleman for the proposed solar panels.
He wants to ask.
about that had not been posted, that the chair, the acting chair, I should say, had said had had not been posted. Solar Energy Partners, 213 West Bolton Street.
They have requested, we had advised that it would most likely not be approved, but that he had the right to ask you to reconsider the sign posting. So he is online.
I have a question for staff. You had photos before. I didn't see them. I know Kathy said the one this morning was not up, but what were the latest ones you had photos of that were, that did show the sign being up?
So after, people have come and picked up their signs, we then go out. We have the same schedule each month where we go out and we go around all the sites just to make sure that, that people have put up the placards.
Right.
So then we can do our staff reports and send everything to you. We obviously, it's not our.
Then you don't go back.
It's not our job to check on it every day.
I can honestly tell you, having just done that in Kensington Park, wind blows them down, people move them, they don't like them. We had to track down a couple and put them back up. So it does happen. And I think sometimes, like, somebody called me that morning and said the hearing was that afternoon because they go ahead and remove them. They wanted them out of there. So, you know, I told them, no, we had to wait till after the hearing. But I know that that does happen, but I just don't know how long they were gone.
Yeah, and that's what the petitioner did return. I have, after communicating with the owners, they took pictures. They had simply fallen down. However, Ms. Everett and I discussed with him that they technically have to be up the whole time visible. So, but he.
As we all know, this applicant is trying to take advantage of tax credit, which expired this month. Which doesn't matter. I know it's not any of our concern, but that's, I'm just giving you a little bit of background. The challenge is we've had other cases where the sign was not up at the day of the hearing. If it was up and staff has seen that the sign was posted within the amount of time, and we also send letters and advertise, it's at your discretion whether you want to hear it or not. I just want to be real clear about that, because the sign was initially posted. As Ms. Miller mentioned, things happen to those signs. Lord knows, I live kind of up behind where she is, and so I've seen the things that happen with regards to signage that's put up. I wish that people would take them down. By the way, anybody listening to this, please take your signs down after you finish your meetings, because they're an eyesore. But seriously, you've got the discretion to make that decision. That's what I want to be clear about. As long as it was posted, and there's proof that it was posted, because we don't go out and check the day of the meeting, and we don't check, you know, other people's signs the day of the meeting. In some ways, that's kind of an unfair standard because we don't have a process to check everybody's sign.
But if it's posted, what you're stating is if it's posted one day, it's posted.
No, what I'm saying is that if when staff goes out to look at the signage, and if we didn't hear anything from anybody else about the sign not being up, we don't have any way. What I'm saying is nobody has any way to know whether the sign was continuously up, no matter what project it is. I mean, it can be up one day, be down, and somebody could go put it back up the day of the meeting. I mean, anything can happen. It becomes a point of us at least trusting or having faith in people that they wouldn't do that. But I do know that in this particular case, the sign was up. I don't know what happened with the sign today, but I do know the sign was up. The other thing, too, if you will recall, we've had a couple very windy mornings, so the sign could have been blown down. I don't know what the person's excuse was. I haven't heard it, and I haven't talked with them.
Right.
I'm just saying that I have seen multiple things happen to these signs. And usually the issue is people haven't picked the sign up. You know, they haven't posted it at all. And we've had a couple people that get really upset because they haven't picked the sign up or posted it at all. But again, that is a decision that you as a board can make.
My question is, the sign needed to be up on the front facade as well as the back facade? Yes?
The front or the back?
Yes. Yeah, so as Ms. Wilson was noting, staff goes out and checks every application 15 days before so that it meets the ordinance. This site had a sign on the front and also on the lane. So they were both. You may have noticed, if you look at your agenda, I mentioned, I think there were a number of items that were continued that you can see I already wrote the staff reports for. That's because when we went out there, there were no placards. So they did not comply with the 15-day requirement that they have placards up. So we told all those applicants, you can't be heard at this meeting. You didn't do what you're required under the law. You didn't pick up your placards, as Ms. Wilson was noting, and put them up. So you have to be heard at the next month's meeting. But as she said, we don't go out and check the signs every day in that 15-day period to make sure that they're up. This is going on good faith that people, you know, keep their signs up and maintain their signs.
Well, I can also add this from personal experience with other signs and posting. Yeah, I've gotten to a point now where I have to send somebody out every day because people do mess with these signs. So I do feel bad for people that put them up and something happens that don't have the ability.
Yeah, and my recent experience too is that, you know, we pick up the signs and we have to find a way to mount them. There's no mounting anything with them. We have to, you know, and if there's not a pole or something for us to put them against, we have to try to figure out a way or find a pole. I mean, and that's left up to the applicant. So yeah, it's not always easy.
Kirsten Connor, I think that it, I think we should hear the application because simply the staff has done their due diligence and it could have, I mean, we don't know the circumstance, which maybe the applicant can provide for us, but I have no issue hearing this application today.
Kathy Ledvina, I just find it hard to believe that both signs were blown away by the wind. And I in the past, when I've posted signs and something has happened, you are responsible. I don't know what happened to the property owner's responsibility here. You were responsible to go and write to the MPC, getting a new sign and reposting. That's your responsibility because what those signs do is it alerts the public and your neighborhood of what's going on. So if somebody can say, oh, I posted the sign for 15 days and take it off because they don't want to see their petition heard or don't want the public to know that the petition is being presented, I see a huge issue with that. And I don't know what happened to these signs. I have no idea. Did we have wind? We did have wind. But I do know that it's the property owner's, the petitioner's responsibility that those signs are maintained in a position. We just voted on that and on 39th Street when their sign allegedly came down or was posted incorrectly. I don't understand what – I guess I just don't understand. It's either posted or it's not posted.
Kirsten Connor, can we hear quickly from the applicant? I'm not sure if that hand on here was saying that they wanted
and
to say something.
And is the applicant online?
He's willing to speak.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, if you can speak up, Jared.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can gotcha. You
state your name for the record?
My name is Jared Wells with Solar Energy Partners. So really quick, I did go out to the site and seeing that both of the signs were blown down. I did call the homeowner, Mr. Brad Baugh, to ask him if he had removed the signs while I was still at the HPC meeting. Mr. Baugh informed me that he has been out of town for the last week and he will be home this afternoon. So in regard to, you know, it being the homeowner's responsibility, Mr. Baugh was fully aware and he would have absolutely reposted the signs if he were home in the residence, but he was unfortunately out of town for the last week. And I do have text messages if you guys would like to see those, if I could email them in. But really quick, you know, from our end as a company, whether we do this now or in 2 weeks, it has no bearing on us. Really, the press for time is the ITC tax credit, which is through the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. A lot of people in the industry are believing that the incoming administration will be getting rid of these tax credits. So that is really the push, is that under the ITC tax credit, the system needs to be physically installed in the calendar year. So I kindly ask for your guys' reconsideration. This project is on a TPO flat roof, and we're using a ballasted system, meaning the system will protrude about 4 inches from the roof. Ms. Chamberlain and Jonathan can attest to it that this area of the roof is not visible, whether it's from the front on the street or visible from the alleyway. It is not visible. I can say with certainty because I could not get photos of the roof. I actually had to fly a drone to be able to see the roof. But that's all from my end.
All right, thank you.
This is Pam Miller. If we have the discretion to move on this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I think we need to take a vote on that. Correct? All right, so if you'd like to make the motion.
No, to discuss.
You just make a motion to put item number 13 back on the regular agenda.
Like to make a motion to put item number 13 back on the regular agenda.
Jeff Netflix, second.
All approved. Virginia?
Virginia Malby approved.
Katrina Horning approved. Pat Richardson approved.
Kirsten Connor approved.
Pam Miller approved.
Jeff Netflix approved.
Motion carries.
So going to the agenda item. The petition of Solar Energy Partners 24-006284-COA 213 West Bolton Street, solar panel installation.
All right, thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant's requesting approval to install 20 solar panels on the flat roof of the non-historic addition located at 213 West Bolton Street. The original folk Victorian style house at 213 West Bolton was constructed circa 1868 and is a contributing resource. One point of interest on this, I'll just go back to the beginning here. There is a non-historic addition on the back. It's got a flat roof. This is what you could see from the lane, and you kind of have to look through to even see it. So nothing is really visible from the area they're proposing, and it's not on the historic building. But the entire building is shown as a contributing resource, which is why we have to come to present it. But aside from that, staff did find that the standards were met, except there was one concern, and that concern is there was these meter boxes shown to be installed on the front of the house where you would see this if you, you know, you could see it through that gate. In theory, it could be visible on the side of the house. I can give you a better view of it. But we haven't actually talked about this with the applicant, who sounds like they're amenable to relocating those towards the rear, which may actually be more work better for the project anyway. But you can see this side of the house. So that was the staff concern. Aside from that, because it's not going to be visible, the recommendation is to approve the request to install 20 solar panels on the flat roof of the non-historic addition at 231 West Bolton Street with the following condition: to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, which is to relocate the non-fused AC disconnect boxes to an area where they're not visible from the street. Thank you.
Are there any questions for the staff? Kathy Levine, I've got a question. On the historic roof where their equipment is located?
Right. It's on the... Here.
If you go to the other, if the other,
let's go back to, yep.
There you go. And see these listed, the battery pack, the
this critical load panel, the what those that's on the oh, historic yes. roof, correct?
Right.
Does that protrude over the ridge line? I mean, is that tall? Is it, does it lay flat on the roof? I don't understand. I don't think we've seen that before.
This is what the view would be.
On the other side, I guess.
We found that it wasn't visible, but this may be a better question for the petitioner.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for the for staff?
I've got one more. Sorry. It states that the panels are 14 inches and then they're on a 10 degree angle, right? So 14 inches. Just because I don't know, I'm asking the 14 inches. Would that, because of the height of that, our other panels were like 6 inches and these are 14. Does that mean that that array needs to be screened?
Again, it would be a better question for the applicant because from the ground you cannot see the roof at all. So it doesn't appear that any of this will be visible from a street, and it doesn't say lanes, it only says streets. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you want to check with the applicant, they probably have the better answer for that because that's just not my area.
I guess it was just the screening that I didn't know,
but
what needed to be screened.
We haven't asked solar panels to be screened before that are visible. And the ordinance clearly states that it's only from the street view. Uh-huh. So even if these were, it's only from a lane view, one would see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think at the 10% degree, it gets more solar power is how it explained it in the notes. And then I guess I was just wondering about the setback, but it's only setback on one portion of the roof. I'm just asking because I know this is a gray territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering how, see the setback, of the solar panels on the, and the west side versus no setback on the east side.
And that's probably just, you know, a decision they made based on how they needed to install them. But our perspective when we were there and we looked at the site, you know, not trespassing into the yard, but what we could see from the street lane, there was just nothing we could even see that would indicate there would be anything there. So that was how we came to our decision.
So there's not a setback requirement either for the solar panels?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Those are all my questions. Does anybody else have any questions for staff?
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Oh.
No questions.
Okay, no questions. Terrific. Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yeah, Jared Wells, Solar Energy Partners. Ms. Chamberlain, can you go back to slide 5 very quickly?
Yes.
I'll try and remember the questions as they came in order. So in regard to the IQ battery 5P, critical loads panel, IQ combiner box, anything that's in that list there, those are all going inside of the home.
Oh.
And cabinet. So that's not visible. Let's see, what other question was there in regard to the spacing? I believe there was a question about the spacing and the 10-degree tilt. In regard to the tilt, that's just to optimize solar production. Again, that's around a 4-inch lift from the TPO structure, which, as Ms. Chamberlain can attest, it's not visible from the street or from the alleyway. Am I forgetting any questions? I believe there's one more about the setbacks.
That's a staff question. That's not your question. So you're okay.
Gotcha.
And would you be amenable to moving the two fused AC disconnects further to the back of the building?
Yeah. I mean, that's very simple. Just so you're aware, those fused AC disconnects are about the size of a wall outlet, like where you plug your phone in. So they're very small, but yeah, absolutely. On the back of the home would actually be easier for installation purposes. This was drawn by an engineer that was not on site. This deal, just so you guys are aware, was signed at the beginning of December, and we were in quite a rush within a couple of days to get this submitted into you guys so that we could get heard at this meeting. But yeah, absolutely, we can move those back to the rear of the home. It'll be better from an installation standpoint.
Captain Levine, I'm correct, though, that they stand up 14 inches, correct? Like the drawing show? Or you're saying they don't?
The panels themselves?
Yep. Looks like they're from 14 to 8 inches or something like that.
I would need to take a look at the plans. Again, I am not an engineer. I do know that the 10-degree tilt would lift the panel on the back end about 4 inches. It could be accounting for the chassis that we use, because this is a ballasted system.
Correct.
So traditionally, with solar, you would drill into the roof. This is used with weight to hold the system down. So it could be accounting for the size of the chassis itself.
It is. But again, I mean, if that's it, yeah, that's what it shows on the plan. I just wanted to verify that they were 14 inches.
Gotcha. Yeah, and whether, you know, 4'10", 14 inches, none of this is going to be visible from the alleyway or the streetway.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, is there any member of the public that would like to comment? All right, we will now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each commission member 2 times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Start with you, Jeff.
I have no problems with this application, so I'm going with staff recommendation.
Pam?
This is Pam Miller. I have no problem. I'll go with staff recommendations.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy Levine, I'm fine with staff.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, I agree with staff recommendation.
Don't think there's any need for further discussion. Is there a motion?
Katrina Hornung, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Solar Energy Partners 24006284 COA at 213 West Bolton Street with the one condition that the non-fused AC disconnect boxes are relocated to the rear of the home because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Virginia Mobley, second.
All in favor? Start with you, Jeff.
Jeff Dodrigo, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Thanks to all the petitioners, the public, and the board for being here today. We will now close out, if we are allowed to. And ask for the adjournment. There's no other business, correct?
Thank you for your time and okay, happy holidays.
We can adjourn. Great. The next Historic Preservation Commission meeting will be on January 22nd, 2025 at 2 p.m. in the Arthur Mendonza Room at 110 East State Street. Is there a motion to adjourn the December 18th, 2024 HPC meeting?
Kirsten Connery, motion to adjourn.
All right. Second. Happy holidays.
I also wanted to let you know that we will be mailing you the calendar, which we're pretty excited about. We think it turned out pretty well. If you want a new journal, we can arrange to make that happen. Definitely. Well, the City of Savannah has an application pool on a portal on their website. So if somebody's interested, they can go to that portal and apply, and they will send it to us, you know, to let us know that there's an application. No, they don't have to do that anymore, to my knowledge. Yeah, but they don't have to do. Yeah, you can just go. No, you can just go. Yeah. Yeah. But again, to make it so that we would have a pool, because that was a problem. You know, it was like we didn't have a list of resumes to pull from. So now you can just go to the portal. If you want to apply for this board, apply. When vacancies pop up, that pops up. Okay? You're welcome.